stupefied but unharmed, he allowed Mathis to lead him off towards the Splendide, from which guests and servants were pouring in chattering fright. As the distant clang of bells heralded the arrival of ambulances and fire engines, they managed to push through the throng and up the short stairs and along the corridor to Bond's room. Mathis paused only to turn on the radio in front of the fireplace. Then, while Bond stripped off his blood-flecked clothes, Mathis sprayed him with questions. When it came to the description of the two men, Mathis tore the telephone off its hook beside Bond's bed.
"And tell the police," he concluded. "Tell them that the Englishman from Jamaica who was knocked over by the blast is my affair. He is unhurt and they are not to worry him. I will explain to them in half an hour. They should tell the press that it was apparently a vendetta between two Bulgarian communists and that one killed the other with a bomb. They need say nothing of the third Bulgar, who must have been hanging about somewhere, but they must get him at all costs. He will certainly head for Paris. Roadblocks everywhere, understand? Alors, bonne chance."
Mathis turned back to Bond and heard him to the end.
"Merde, but you were lucky," he said when Bond had finished. "Clearly the bomb was intended for you. It must have been faulty. They intended to throw it and then dodge behind their tree. But it all came out the other way round. Never mind, we will discover the facts."
He paused.
"But certainly it is a curious affair, and these people appear to be taking you seriously."
Mathis looked affronted.
"But how did these sacré Bulgars intend to escape capture? And what was the significance of the red and the blue cases? We must try and find some fragments of the red one."
Mathis bit his nails. He was excited and his eyes glittered. This was becoming a formidable and dramatic affair, in many aspects of which he was now involved personally. Certainly it was no longer just a case of holding Bond's coat while he had his private battle with Le Chiffre in the casino. Mathis jumped up.
"Now get a drink and some lunch and a rest," he ordered Bond. "For me, I must get my nose quickly into this affair before the police have muddied the trail with their big black boots."
Mathis turned off the radio and waved an affectionate farewell. The door slammed and silence settled on the room. Bond sat for a while by the window and enjoyed being alive. Later, as Bond was finishing his first straight whiskey on the rocks and was contemplating the pâté de foie gras and cold langouste which the waiter had just laid out for him, the telephone rang.
"This is Mademoiselle Lind."
The voice was low and anxious.
"Are you all right?"
"Yes, quite."
"I'm glad. Please take care of yourself."
She rang off. Bond shook himself, then he picked up his knife and selected the thickest of the pieces of hot toast. He suddenly thought, "Two of them are dead, and I have got one more on my side. It's a start." He dipped the knife into the glass of very hot water which stood beside the pot of Strasbourg porcelain and reminded himself to tip the waiter doubly for this particular meal.